Welcome to IRO Live with host Bob Bay.
We learned the steps, the 12 steps, as tools on how to navigate life. The steps in and of themselves won't change our lives, but what the steps do is they help us identify areas in our lives where we're struggling. That in turn helps us build our relationship with God, helps us deal with the issues we have in ourselves, and helps us with the issues we have with other people. Helps us build relationships with other people. At the foundation of it is steps 1, 2, and 3. No matter what recovery, 12-step recovery program you're part of, at the foundation is steps 1, 2, and 3. In the Bible, a lot of times the Old Testament writers would use the ocean or the seas as an example of life in the world. It's chaos. It represents in ancient literature of all kinds, it represented chaos because the oceans were deep. They had things in it that you couldn't see. Storms could blow up at any time and wreck your ship. It was just horrible. And so they used that a lot of times to represent it. And so I thought to look at the steps according to the Bible and the ocean. Let's look at the first one. Let's look at the first scripture. I'm going to lay a little bit of groundwork for this. For those of you who don't know the story of Jonah and the whale. I mean, everybody knows about Jonah and the whale, right? Let me just lay a little foundation here. God had wanted Jonah to go and tell the Ninevites to repent, to change what they were doing and return to God. Jonah didn't want to do it because he didn't like the Ninevites. And so he decided he was going to run away from God. He was going to run away. And to do that, he was going to get on this ship and sail away in the opposite direction and get away because he did not want to do what God wanted him to do. And as he's out there, a huge storm blows up and the ship is about to sink. This is terrible. And the people on the ship are like, what's going on? Somebody's made God mad because he's about to sink us. So what are we going to do now? And now this is what Jonah says in Jonah 1, verse 12 through 15. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Picked him up. Everything calmed down then. And so you guys know the story. Then this great fish comes, swallows Jonah and takes him to Nineveh. After 3 days, spits him out on the shore at Nineveh. And I'm sure after 3 days in the belly of a fish, he was smelling and looking good. And the people from Nineveh ended up repenting. And so what this story here represents, step one in our lives. Let's look at step one. We admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsions. This is the CR part. And our compulsive behaviors and our lives have become unmanageable. Addiction is rooted in trying to rule and control our own lives. And that's what Jonah was trying to do, right? God wanted him to do something and he said, no, I'm not doing it. And so he sought out a way to get away from God out in the world. And he tried to escape and run from God. The first part in any recovery from anything, be it a substance abuse, overcoming trauma, PTSD, abuse, all of that, is coming to the point where you understand that you cannot control your own life. You cannot be God in your life. That's the simplest way to put it. You cannot play God in your life and be successful. I know it looks like a lot of people do, but they are not being successful. They may have money. They may have cars. They may have material possessions. They may have power. They may have a lot of things, but they are not ultimately in control and controlling their lives. So let's look at the next story about the ocean. And this is in Matthew chapter 8, 23 through 26. There's also a version of this in Luke. This story comes after Jesus had just spoken on the Sermon on the Mount. And so he goes and he says, hey, let's go over to the other side. And they all get in the boat. And this is what happens. Now, when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. I like the way the New King James puts it. It doesn't say a great storm. It's a great tempest arose on the sea. So the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. That's Jesus. Jesus was sleeping. He was chilling. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds in the sea, and there was a great calm. You can't really blame Jonah, right? I mean, that was some Old Testament stuff, right? God was out there. But the disciples are in the boat with Jesus, and they just saw miracles. They just saw him feed all these people. They just saw all this stuff. And they've been with him for a while. They saw him turning in water into wine, and they saw all kinds of stuff. They knew that Jesus had the power to do some things in their heads because they went to him. But they didn't know in their hearts. They didn't have a revelation of who Jesus is, an understanding of who Jesus is. Now, step two says, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's why I like the parallels between the ocean and the tempest and the storms. It seems like my life goes just like the regular weather is. I'll have storm, 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 and it'll be like, God, is it ever going to stop storming? And then suddenly the sun comes out, and it's like, oh, wow, and everything's wonderful for a little while, and I forget about the storms. And then it's storm, 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 storm. This is what happens in our lives when we know in our heads that Jesus wants to take care of us, wants to calm the storm, but in our hearts, we're not believing that he will. We know he can, but do we know he will? And that at the heart of, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Do you believe that God can actually change your life? Do you really? Because we need to really believe that. Now, am I saying if you don't really believe, he won't do it? No, I think each man is given, man or woman, each person is given a measure of faith, and God can build on that. But the problem is, we keep going through the tempest of life, and we will be fearful, afraid, walk in anxiety and fear until we believe that God will take care of us. And I got to tell you, Jesus doesn't always speak and calm the storm in your life, the waves around you. Sometimes you just need to have peace within you. And that brings us to our next story. And this is in Acts chapter 27. And I'm going to set this up. This is when Paul is being taken to Rome. And he's on a ship. The Apostle Paul is being taken to Rome. He's on a ship. He's going to see Caesar. Because God wants him to testify of who he is to Caesar. He wants Paul to witness about him to Caesar. God has a plan for Paul. Paul has an idea that's what's going on. He believes that's what's going to happen. But he doesn't really know the steps of it. The steps A, B, C, D, and E. He just knows A and Z. You with me? He knows he's on the ship and he knows he's going to Rome, but he doesn't know all the stuff in between. They're putting him and some other prisoners onto this ship to take them to Rome. But this is the thing. God spoke to Paul and said, listen. And part of this was Paul's intuition of knowing the sea and knowing the weather and the way things were. And he's like, listen, dudes, we really shouldn't do this right now. If we go, there's going to be trouble. If we set sail now, there's going to be problems. You guys can read the story for yourself. There's going to be problems if we go. But Paul knew that he had no control over it. He was their prisoner and he was going to Rome. I'm sure Paul was not like this. This is the way Bob is. God, if you were really with me, you wouldn't have me be these people's prisoners. You would just give me like a cruise line ticket and put me on this fancy yacht and send me to Caesar to speak your word because I'm doing your business. That's the way Bob is. But God had a plan. But so Paul warns these people, listen, if we go, there's going to be trouble. And so what happens? A great storm comes when they're on there. They hadn't, by this time, they haven't eaten in 14 days. I mean, it's just terrible. They're throwing everything, anything and everything overboard so that they can lighten the ship so it'll sit higher up in the water so that the waves can't overcome it. They're terrified. What's going to happen? God speaks to Paul. And so let's read this. After long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. This is step three. We made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. All of those stories involved people at different places in their relationship with God. There was Jonah, who was running from God, trying to run his own life. The disciples, who were with Jesus, knew he was great, but didn't really trust him. Didn't believe that he would take care of them the way he says he would. And then there's Paul. Paul had a revelation of who Jesus was, of who God was. Paul was also filled with the Holy Spirit. So we got to give, just like we give Jonah a little bit of slack because he was Old Testament, we got to give the disciples a little bit of slack because they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They knew Jesus in their heads, but they didn't quite have the full revelation because they weren't filled with the Spirit yet. But Paul had it. And Paul had turned his will and his life over to the care of God. And so if you read on in the story, the ship wrecked, it broke apart, everybody made it to shore, some awesome miracles happened, they hung out there for a while, God did some work amongst the local inhabitants. In this, we find the lessons in our lives. When we face storms, we can look at our lives and use the tools of the steps to help us gauge where we're at. And so we know that when the storm comes, if we start feeling uncomfortable and we're afraid and we're running from God, what do we need to do? We need to turn around. We need to understand and remember we can't run our own lives. If we run our own lives, we will end up in the belly of a fish, covered in seaweed and because when he went in, he got all tangled in seaweed and everything, and it's horrible. But then also, if the storm's going, we come to Jesus and we're like, God, you got to stop this. You got to do something about this. I can't take this anymore. Now listen, we all get to that point in different things, right? We all have those times in our lives where we feel helpless and hopeless. But what do? We look at our tools and we stop and we say, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. In other words, could bring us peace in the storm. When we have no peace, we need to stop and say, wait, God, I need your peace. Even if the storm keeps raging, I need your peace. Because remember, Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping. He wasn't worried about it. And it says we came to believe because it's a process. We learn that over time, over going through the storms and seeing God take care of the things in our lives. And so then we can get to the point where Paul was at, where we can know God is going to take care of this. I used to hesitate to say anything like this, but I'm going to say it. I hesitated because I didn't want to give anybody false expectations. But I know that I know that I know. I know as sure as I know that if you're following God and you come up against a storm, He will do whatever He needs to do for you to hear His words of encouragement and direction. Just like He sent an angel to stand by Paul. He might not send you an angel. He may send you somebody like me to speak something into your life. He may have you walk in right at the end and have somebody say, God's got a plan for your life. Just keep pressing. Keep going back to Him. Keep going back to Him. He's got a plan. He's going to work this out. It doesn't look like it. Don't be like Jonah and keep running. Don't be like the disciples and just get freaked out. Be like Paul and rest. But you guys, Paul saw some stuff. Paul saw some stuff. And that's where his faith began to rise. Paul got knocked off a horse and was blind 3 days. And God took care of it. It's this whole thing about using our tools, coming to this point and be able to recognize in our lives, okay, this is what the storm looks like in my life. And this is what I'm doing. How do I apply God's word, what we just read, how do we apply that to our lives? How do we identify ourselves in the stories? And then how do we apply that to our lives for real? Like for real.
Thanks for listening. Please comment and subscribe for upcoming podcasts. To order your copy of My Real Life, go to the Take Action page at our website, reallifeministries-stl.com. Or go to Real Life Ministries STL on Facebook.